In our present day, faith is widely misunderstood. The nature and crucial importance of faith has eluded many in the religious world. Most of the world limit faith to being mere belief. But the Bible has a much deeper meaning placed on this important biblical term. As we begin to delve into the doctrine of faith, by way of introduction, notice that the gospel is the faith in Jude verse 3, and those that have obeyed it have been faithful to the Lord, Acts 16 verse 15. Notice Acts chapter 2 and verse 44 and Galatians 6 verse 10. Thus, collectively, believers are the household of faith. Faith is the underlying principle in all Christian conduct. We turn to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 and notice some words of the Apostle Paul that cannot be read without opening up the life of this man, about telling how he lived and how he operated. Galatians 2 verse 20. The Apostle Paul writes, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." The meaning of faith. There are three basic ideas relevant to a person's relevant to the meaning of faith. That idea of belief, simply acknowledging something that is true, certainty, conviction of the truth of a proposition. You know, some people believe in something, but it has no impact on them. I am sure that there were those that believed in the place, that a place called Japan existed. But in 1941, people came to believe in it just a little bit more, to know that it existed because of what Japan did to Pearl Harbor on December 7th. We believe in a thing, but then there is actually that deeper situation where we know something to be true and are certain and of the truth of a proposition. Secondly, there is the confidence in a person's trustworthiness or in the person himself. You know, there are those that are orphaned and have an idea that they once had a mother and a father, but there are those of us that know for a certainty that we have a mother and a father. We lived with them. We accepted their teaching. They were with us day by day. They were with us to comfort us when we were hurting. It was something different and deeper than what an orphan might have. There is faith in a person's trustworthiness. Some people are just apart from us, spiritually, mentally, and then there are those that we trust, that we have that rock solid belief that if I need something, they will be there. We want to be that kind of person to someone else, that we are trusted, that we will always be what we ought to be for that person. This involves the idea that the object of faith can be counted on to provide what is needed. A man of faith is the one who trusts God. And we can count on that person because we have seen them so many times throughout their life. Count on God. Go to God when they are in need. And teach others that need to go to God. Ask for a solution. Well, have you prayed? Are you a Christian? These are the things that we can count on some people to do. Thirdly, there's another basic meaning of faith. It's fidelity, or to trust, or commitment. This involves the idea that the subject of faith can be counted on to do his duty. A faithful man is one who can be trusted by God. It's interesting some of the things I've heard. My grandfather was in the Navy, and on his the little ship that he was on. It was a destroyer escort. Everyone had the idea that that captain wasn't really a captain. He was a commander by rank, but he's still the captain of the ship. That he would always be on his post. That you could count on that captain to always do what was right for that ship. Taking care of the ship and the men on it were his sacred duty. That's what he was going to do. He looked at other people. My grandfather would say, I wouldn't trust him with anything, with my coffee grounds. I wouldn't trust him with anything. And he knew some people like that, that when the guns came screaming across the sky and the ship was being strafed, he knew some men that would dive for the interior of the ship. Couldn't trust them. They would not stay on their post. The idea of faith and faithfulness in the New Testament reflects all these concepts. Acts chapter 8 and verse 12, if you will. Acts chapter 8 and verse 12. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. They believed Philip. Now, Philip had spiritual gifts. He could lay his hands on someone that they would be healed. And then he began to speak to people about the gospel, having shown them that what he was saying was the word of God. He began to teach them the gospel. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Many people may be mixed up about the words faith and belief, and not understand that those are two words in English that translate one word in the Greek New Testament. The Greek word pistis is translated both belief and faith in the New Testament. They're interchangeable. Some people think that belief is some sort of lesser thing than the word faith is, but that's not so. And so belief is something you hear the word of God and you come to acknowledge it as true. In Philip's case, he was able to show them signs and wonders so that they could understand that these things that he was teaching were the will of heaven. And then there is confidence that goes into that matter of faith. James chapter 1 and verse 6. James chapter 1 and verse 6. Not being an apostle, James is one who teaches us some very deep things with regard to the Word of God and the Christian faith. He says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. You want to see whether someone actually has faith in their life? Kind of like we've already looked at with regard to the Apostle Paul. I am crucified with Christ. That kind of depth of relationship with our Lord. Well, you let them see trial. Trial in the Christian life. Whether it is someone who has a son or a daughter that is not doing the right thing, whether it's financial bad times, whether it's just infidelity between two, whatever it is, it may be persecution coming sometime in the future, that you want to see whether someone actually is faithful, has faith. Hard times is where that comes in. That's where you see whether they actually are in that relationship with God. Come into hard times, you find that you need wisdom. You ask it of God, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, shall be given him. But let him ask in faith. In this case, it's in confidence. Confidence that the Lord has the wherewithal to give you that wisdom and that he has an interest in your well-being. That's the kind of confidence that we're talking about. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Be confident when you ask of God. That's part of faith. Romans chapter 4, verse 3. Romans chapter 4, verse 3. The Apostle Paul delves deeply into the life of faith in this particular book. He wants us to know what it is to have faith. What it is to be both apart from God and to be with God. Romans 4, verse 3, we read, "For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." To study Abraham is to study what it is, to give you a picture of what it is to have faith. God told him in Ur of the Chaldees, "I want you to go to a land that you have no idea where it is. I'll tell you where it is. It's going to be a while before you get there. I know a little something about traveling a ways in order to get somewhere else. About the same distance that I traveled from South Texas to Marshfield, Missouri, Abraham was told that he was to get up his family and to travel to this promised land about 800 miles. My trip was 900. Not that much difference. But my trip was 15 hours, 16 hours. Abraham's trip was months. Months at the speed of the slowest animal in his flock. Couldn't go any faster than that. Where he could find food, where he could find water. It was along the river, so he traveled along the river until he got to the north of the land of Canaan. And then, when his father died, he traveled south to go into the land of Canaan. Months and months it was. Can you imagine? You're driving in a car today, going to Disneyland or Disney World or somewhere like that. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? That's how people are, impatient. But imagine, from Ur of the Chaldees all the way to Canaan. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Must have been a tremendous trip. Must have been a lot that they remembered years later. But it was something that required faith. That what God said would be there, that they had to have a rock-solid understanding. It was going to be there. That God would be with them on the way. Else, how would they have ever dealt with the marauders of that day? How would they have kept fed? How would they have conducted their lives? Confidence. Romans chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. Speaking of Abraham once again, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken to that which was, so shall thy seed be, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Now think of this. Think if someone told you, you're way past the time of child rearing, there's no way that anyone is going to agree. Yes, God said you're going to have a son, but that's just not possible. I remember my grandfather well telling me, yes, I believe in God, but that virgin birth thing, things don't happen like that, he told me. You have to trust. You have to believe what somebody has told you to have faith. Now, we know that Jesus was born of a virgin. Because where we receive that fact, it's a God-given thing. As we spoke this morning, there are tracts of God all over the Word of God. We know it's the Word of God because of the many proofs that we've received about that. And so faith comes by hearing the Word of God. The Word of God said, Abraham, you're going to have your own son. I know your wife, how old she is. That doesn't matter. I know how old you are. You're over 100 years old. But you're going to have a son this year, a year from now. You're going to have a son. And Abraham believed him, prepared for it. What are the significance of these things? There is belief, there is confidence, there is fidelity. We're told to be faithful, Revelation 2, verse 10. Be thou faithful unto death, and you will receive the crown of life. What's the significance of this? These three components of faith are progressive. Belief, intellectual credence, is the important beginning point. Hebrews chapter 11, starting that chapter, we understand that this is the hall of faith. It's another picture of what faith is by bringing together many persons in the Old Testament and showing us what faith is. Faith is a confidence. Notice, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, unless you really think about it, you don't know exactly what it's saying. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. We hope for something. What does hope mean? Well, hope means that you both want it and expect it. If you expect it but don't want it, you have no hope. If you want it but don't expect it, you don't have any hope. There's two things in hope you have to have in order to have hope. But underlying that is something else. That word substance, you see the word the prefix sub on it. The word that's behind that means something holding something up. You know, a sub-basement, you understand what that is. Anything that's sub is underneath. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. You cannot have hope without faith. It's underlying everything that we have a future for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then we read in verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The necessity of faith is seen. You cannot have hope without faith. And faith is underlying everything that we hope for. Belief is a part of the components of faith. And then it progresses to confidence, a self-surrendering reliance. Notice the words of the Apostle Paul in Philippians 4, verses 10 through 13. Philippians 4, verses 10 through 13. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Now that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Search from cover to cover of your Bible. You'll not find a statement more appropriate to confidence. Paul says, I'm confident, whether you give to me or not. Whether I am abased or whether I have plenty, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. This intellectual credence grows into self-surrendering reliance. God is going to take care of me. This grows into fidelity, unswerving loyalty. 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. These are some of the last words you'll ever hear from the Apostle Paul as he explains his life, as he instructs his final words to Timothy. He charges him with preaching the word, verses 1 through 4. And then in verse 7, we read this: I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith, unswerving loyalty. So people come to you and say, all you have to do is believe. Do they mean that? Unswerving loyalty throughout a lifetime of service? I doubt it, but that's what it is. If we are faithful, if we are living by faith, then that's what we have to do. He says, verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. God has demonstrated his credibility. God has demonstrated his dependability. God has demonstrated his worthiness of allegiance. We can have faith in God and be faithful to him because he is a faithful God. He has demonstrated everything that we are to be. His faithfulness, his dependability, his credibility. But there is faithfulness as a way of life. And we are to confess faith to begin with. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. Jesus gives a warning to those that might not confess him before men. And that if that's the case, he will not confess us before the Father which is in heaven. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. This is where the blessing is. We confess Christ before men, that we have the confidence in him to deliver on his promises, because it might cost us our life to make that confession. If we do that, he'll confess us before the Father which is in heaven. He will own us. Verse 33. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Must be with Christ. Must have confidence in him. Must own him as Lord and Savior. Faith is a way of life. The Christian faith is a confessing faith, one that is continually confessed. Perversions of faith must be avoided. There is counterfeit faith. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Matthew 7, verse 15. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Fruit that cannot sustain us. Fruit that is rotten to the core. There is the counterfeit. They must be avoided. We must not have faith in self. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25. Self-righteous faith, the kind of faith that tells us that it's all in us, that we've done everything we can to please God, that he owes us something. Partial faith, 2 Chronicles 25, verse 2. A skeptical faith, James chapter 1 and verse 6. There's other kinds of faith than what we ought to have, but those will not prevail before God. Making the good confession implies commitment. The good confession, that you live the kind of life that God would have you live. That's why so many are unable to go some places that others freely go to, because they don't want to show anyone a life of faith that is just halfway. Want to do it to the nth degree. Commitment is what comes of confession. It's a bona fide pledge of faith. Our confession must be held fast. Hebrews 10, verse 23. What does it mean to live by faith? To be in the faith, 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, is also to be of the faith, Galatians 3 verse 9. Thus, faith is a real factor in the Christian's manner of life. You come upon something that needs doing or needs avoiding. And what rule do you go to in order to tell how you are to live? You go to the faith. The faith, once for all delivered unto the saints, Jude 3. A person of faith renounces any other means of security. The flesh, your opinion, temporal prosperity. You see, a man of faith relies totally on God. Life in Christ is the life of trusting obedience to God. There's that example once again. His name is Abraham. Abraham is an example of trusting obedience. You want me to go where, Lord? I want you to go to a land that you've never heard of. I want you to go to Canaan. I want you to go to a land where the Hittites, they live there. And they are a people of many chariots. They are a warlike people. I want you to go there and live. And how can I carry enough food along with me? I'll take care of you. How can I keep us all safe and sound? I'll take care of you. Do you believe God, if you like Abraham? Abraham believed God that he would get there in God's good time. Joy and peace come not from the absence of conflict in life, but also from faith's ability to cope with it. Also, faith imparts more active benefits. We are diligent in work because we believe that it will be fruitful. We become willing to sacrifice because of the promises involved. It causes strength and courage to boil up in us. Boldness and confidence. Imagine the apostles, as they go forth, told to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to a world that is going to kill them. And they know it. How do they have faith? It's been given to them. It's been given to them not miraculously, but they've seen the things that they need to see. It's been shown to them. They were faithful unto death. It's not enough to have had faith at one time. The life of faith begun is virtually worthless if it is not completed. Remember Abraham. He started out and he remained faithful until he got to Canaan. And then there were challenges at Canaan and he had to grow. And you come to the end of Abraham's life and the choices that he made. And you look at what faith is supposed to look like. The faith that he passed on to his son and to his son's son. He lived a life of faith so that we could understand what faith is. What happens to one's faith is crucial. Our faith has to grow. It has to be tested. It has to be added to. And it has to stand fast. Faith is essentially forward-looking. We look forward to the place that we're going, just like Abraham. He's going to the land of promise. He's going to Canaan. He is bound for the promised land. And so he believed God. There may be someone here this very evening that needs to know what faith is because there's so many things that people say about it. It's just a leap into the darkness that you just have to decide that something is going to be there. That's not faith at all. It's not the faith I find in my Bible. It's that God says something and we trust God. God gives us faith by giving us His promises. There may be someone here today that wonders whether baptism for the remission of sins, whether you can have faith in that. If God said it, that sins will be forgiven if you do what He says do, look to the past. Look to the time of Naaman. Naaman wanted his leprosy forgiven. Not forgiven, but healed. He wanted it healed, and the prophet told him, go dip 7 times in the Jordan. And he got mad about it, angry about it. He said, will it do what he said it would do? Well, this was a prophet of God. Elisha is one that performed many miracles, and you could trust in the things that he said. He was about to turn away, but one of his servants said, if he told you to do some big thing, wouldn't you have done it? If he had told you to build a temple, wouldn't you have gotten just right on it right now? Yes. That was the answer in Naaman's head. So why don't you go down to the river, obey the prophet, and be clean? He did just that. And one reason why we can say that we will receive forgiveness of sins is because Naaman had his leprosy removed. Never had a problem with it again. The skin was clean, just like a baby's. We believe what the Bible says. We can have faith in it. We can trust God. He will take us safely through to our final home. But we have to obey it. There's no getting around that. There's no deciding that we can ask God to save us based upon what we want and how we want to do it. We have to do it God's way. If we can assist you in your obedience this evening, why don't you come and sit on one of these front pews as we stand, as we sing. He had a seat for